T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, Marks and Rays, we're back. So, with this college offense, or as some people are calling it, a high school offense for the Eagles, has it become somewhat predictable? It's predictable for Ike. Predicted, is the offense predictable for you?
Yes, somewhat.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, was it predictable for the Buccaneers? Jordan Mailata after the game spoke about that.
Just like us, you know, we prepare as well, and the other team as well. Yeah, I feel like they came out, they knew what we were doing straight away, and so, you know, we just had to adapt. And it took us a little bit of time to adapt, but, you know, like I said, they do their homework too, just like we do. You know, we have to learn to adapt, and we have to learn to adapt faster.
There you go.
I'll say I'm not as surprised. It's a short week, and you knew they weren't going to put in a bunch of stuff to run that was going to be different. So they didn't get a chance to switch up a whole lot of stuff. I mean, it couldn't be too complicated out there Thursday.
So Sirianni had said in his press conference today, I believe it was today, that they threw in some new formations, et cetera. Did you see any?
The stack wide receivers. That's what he's talking about.
Okay.
Usually had the two
down
by two.
Down on the near side.
Well, they ran it twice. One they threw the interception on. Jalen, that's the one he threw the interception on. So, the first play of the game, they lined up in the same thing. So, they ran the read option out of it in the first with the first play
drive
of the game.
Yeah,
Jalen kept the ball. Didn't get anything. The next time I saw him do it, they threw the ball out of the same formation. So, they gave him – the same formation one time they ran it and one time they threw the ball deep. So, I mean, that's just one formation that I recognized that was completely different from what they had done before. What you did not see much of is the type of offense we saw against Kansas City. Now, maybe they needed more time to put in the motions and all the other things that would go. Remember we was always talking about the pre-snap motion and that type of stuff? Well, they did that against Kansas City and it worked. We haven't seen as much of that the last 2 weeks, two games.
And they did have Gamewell and Sanders on the field at the same time
a couple times. But, I mean, okay, well,
you got to take
advantage
of
the ball.
Of that.
Yeah. Let's give them the ball.
Man.
I mean, Gamewell only touched the ball once.
And every week that we see him, we're impressed, and it feels like he could use some more. Then they're not using Miles Sanders enough either. So.
No.
All right, Paul and Cotman. Paul, go ahead.
Well, first off, I'm enjoying your show. It's actually excellent today.
Thank you, Paul.
I appreciate that, Paul.
I'd just like to say it's almost like they were doomed for failure from the beginning. You got a head coach that they hired with no head coaching experience. They allowed him to bring on a defensive coordinating coach with no defense coordinating experience. And then they topped it off by hiring an offensive coordinator coach with no offensive coordinating experience. I'd like to see what they talk about when they're sitting together having their coaches meeting, setting up a game plan for a game. They've got nobody to bounce ideas off of with experience. They got nobody to help them, lead them in a direction that may improve.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to each other like they're successful, and they're not yet. If you look at what they did in L.A. when they hired I can't think of his name now, that young coach.
Sean McVay?
They brought in that
Wade Phillips there. Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips for years.
Yep.
And he was somebody you could bounce ideas off of. He could help him improve.
Yep.
They have none of that. I blame it on Howie, and I blame it on Jeffrey for allowing that to happen. They could hire a Nick Sirianni. That's fine. Give the guy a chance. Maybe he will do well. But you've got to bring in a head coach or somebody with exceptional experience in one of the other two key coaching positions.
I agree. I mean, even when they hired Doug, Jim Schwartz was his defensive coordinator. He's a former head coach.
Two-time head coach. Yeah.
So, yeah, they brought him in. Frank Reich had been an offensive coordinator.
For a couple of teams.
Yeah, for several different teams. So that allowed for Doug to have experienced voices in the room with him when he's putting together the game plan, when he's putting together the practice schedule, all those types of things. When you're going in a game and you're taking advice from these guys as to, all right, you might need to think about this coach coming up in the next series, or you may want to think about this on the next couple plays, or even from a defensive standpoint in Jim Schwartz, him saying, hey, might need you to run the ball. These boys over here are a little tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need a break. Okay, enough with the pass. Another three and out, and we're over a sucking wind. So, and someone like Jim Schwartz could garner respect from Doug Peterson,
sure,
because he's a former head coach. I don't know if Shane Steichen is stepping on Nick Sirianni's toes and in mid
saying, hey, you got to run the ball.
Right.
What's going on here?
That
we're getting
type
away
of
from
stuff.
It. Yeah.
Or Jonathan Gannon, who doesn't have a ton of experience himself. He's more concerned with getting his side of the football together versus jumping in over there. So there's something to that last caller where you're saying, if you're going to hire a young coach like Nick Sirianni, okay, well then give him some balance.
Yeah.
Veterans, some seasoning coaches around him that's going to help him. Even Andy had Jim Johnson, who had been in the league forever, had Rod Dalhauer, yep, who had been an offensive coordinator before, and he had those guys as his coordinators.
Yep.
This is really a true youth movement. And man, you're right. I mean, going through it isn't easy in days like last night, and you got to wake up to it today. It makes it painful. But some of this is expected.
Well, I mean,
it just is like the growing pain part of it. We had to know that it was going to be up and down this year.
Oh, and it's been. But to the point of the caller, it's something we talked about at the time. We were surprised that they went with a young offensive coordinator, a young quarterbacks coach who was a college quarterback coach, but had familiarity with Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm, a young defensive coordinator. I mean, they're veteran guys or position coaches on the line.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it would matter right now, but it certainly would hurt. That's for sure. Let's go to OG Wade.
Uh-oh.
OG Wade. What's up, brother?
Hi, John. Hi, Mark.
What's up, Wade?
Hey, John. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm pissed off, but I got to keep, like, you keep getting me back in order. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to look at this kid and know that he's a young guy. I think people look at his maturity, like output, what comes out of his mouth, and then they start putting him in that veteran type of quarterback body and then wanting to treat him like that. But he really don't know much. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's really trying to get himself together. And then here's the proof that Nick Sirianni is not a yes man for Jeffrey Lurie now. They allow him to pick his own staff. They didn't even allow Doug to do that. They picked his staff. So I think that Jeffrey is coming in this like saying, okay, we went to the auction. We got this coach. Let's see what he do. Okay, they knew they didn't draft Jalen Hurts as their franchise quarterback, but they said, hey, we got him in the second round. Let's see what he do. This is a let's see what we do year. So at this point, us as a fan base, we're looking for the best and the wins and everything. Jeffrey and Howie is sitting there looking for opportunity to find the diamond in the rough. Because why? It ain't costing them nothing. You know what I'm saying? They're not paying Jalen Hurts no money.
Yep.
They're not paying Nick Sirianni no money. They're not committed to Nick Sirianni. They ain't told him, we're going to keep you for 10 years and $100 million like they did
Gruden.
Gruden. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we don't realize that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman probably is the best thing for us as a fan base, because – they know what it takes to win. They won when they had their hand on the pulse. When they gave their their organization up to Chip Kelly, he ran it into the ground. So they knew what comes with that. Mm-hmm. So now what comes with when we put our hands on it? And they're not allowing you to run anything in the ground. And they now care about what are the fan base says. Now, you're going to either conform, just like with this new thing, or you're not. Even you're going to be with us or you're not. Here's what we're doing. Only thing we can hope for at this point is for this team, and because they're young, much young, to get better. My man kept pushing, Glenn Mack, kept trying to get you to kiss Tom Brady's butt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Like, who's he? First of all, let me explain something to everybody that thinks Tom Brady is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's not. You cannot be that when in 20-something years, not one year was Tom Brady the best quarterback in the league. Not one year. When he was playing with Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning was the best quarterback in them years. When Aaron Rodgers came on, Aaron Rodgers was before him. Now it's Pat Mahomes. Tom Brady hasn't been number one as a quarterback.
All right, Wade. Thank you. I'm more interested in the beginning of your call where everything's great. And still don't know how he arrived at that, Ike. I can appreciate that.
Well, you got to say Tom Brady was the best in 07. He threw 50 touchdowns.
But to his point, Peyton Manning was a better regular season quarterback stats-wise.
Yes.
Also had better weapons.
Yes.
Every single one of those years. I don't even remember what I was going to say in response to
everything being good.
Everything that he said. So let me tell you why me in particular, because if I said to you before the season, you'll be 2-4 after 6 games, I don't think anybody would freak out. Right? Like, you look at the schedule.
Well, you look at the schedule and you say, okay, I guess San Francisco at home could have been a win. And
there's
say,
a swing
okay,
game
maybe
or two.
3-3. But the other games, no one would have picked the Eagles to win those games.
0-6 is a disaster. 1-5 is bad. 2-4, you're not happy, but you're like, all right, like if 2-4 to start the season, if we would have said that, people wouldn't be happy, but they'd say, okay, I can see how that happens, right?
Right.
The problem is watching the 6 games and not just looking at the record. Because, like, Florio said it with us, well, they're 2-4. Yeah, but the details of the games matter. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have a head coach who looks clueless, but now you also have a quarterback. And this is what was different in 2016 with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz checked every box in 2016 as a rookie. And at the end of the season, even though they weren't winning games, you were excited to see what he was going to do in year two because he had everything you're looking for. And after the last 2 weeks, I don't know if you had that in Jalen Hurts. The longer he's playing and the longer he's being asked to do what quarterbacks do, which is throw the ball, he doesn't look like he can do it. That doesn't mean it's over and we're closing the book on him, but he looks every bit of that 53rd overall pick that they drafted in the second round these last couple
last
weeks.
Last two games,
yeah. He has.
Yep.
Potential, intangible. Like, when they talk about the intangibles in training, everybody's, oh, the intangibles of him. Yeah. This is why. He does have the intangibles. He's a likable guy. He's a good leader. The guys like him.
Yep.
But when he can't make very, very makeable throws, when he's not seeing the field, he's missing open guys too often. He's not making good decisions when under pressure now. So, like, he's got to be better. This isn't just about Nick Sirianni last night.
Well, and Jalen is under the microscope all year.
Yep.
This is. I mean, people are going to react every week to how he plays.
Without the benefit of having a first-round pick behind him to say that buys him 2 years or 3 years.
Right.
Nope.
No, and the thing is that it's not as if he's looking over his shoulder. So, yeah, you got to show what you can do, but that's the pressure any player has in this league. Like, you don't have the threat of Joe Flacco, Gardner Minshew.
That's
like,
no real threat.
No, those aren't threats. The only way they come into play is if you continue to play bad.
Right.
Means you bring them into play. The organization, at least for right now and right this year, is fully behind you.
Yeah, the only threat is the first-round draft picks if you don't play well
next
enough
year,
and they decide that they're doing something else.
That's not right now. Exactly. That's not right now. And that would only come into play if your play says this is what they should go do.
Yep.
He is throwing the ball a lot. It makes me wonder, are they just trying to find out, is he the guy?
Right.
I mean, he's throwing the ball an awful lot.
77.3% of their snaps are throws.
Yeah.
With this guy. Right, like young quarterback that's not known for his arm. Dak Prescott shouldn't be throwing the ball 77%.
Right.
Right? Like Aaron Rodgers, sure. Tom Brady, sure.
Right.
But
Pat Mahomes, okay.
Pat Mahomes, why is he doing that? So, again, as much as I want to sit here and criticize Hurts for his play, why is he throwing the ball? So you're not setting him up to be successful by doing that. That's clear and obvious. Your best offensive weapons aren't being used. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Justin in Tennessee. Is always such a fair and positive individual, and I don't think he feels very good today. Justin, how are you?
What's happening, fellas? How you doing today?
Uh-oh.
What's up, Justin?
Wow.
No, I'm not very positive today, man. One thing I was wanting to hit on, the guy before me spoke up about, when you bring in a young coach like that, like we did with Doug, I would have preferred him to bring in a seasoned defensive coordinator, somebody that had head coaching experience. And I really wanted them to bring in Dan Quinn to be the DC. We see what he's doing in Dallas right now. I mean, that defense is they're playing off their feet right now. We thought Dallas's defense was going to stink. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. And he's got that Diggs kid playing out of this world right now.
Man.
And, I mean, that's what I really wanted. And they bring in the Wonder Kid. You know, all these guys are so young and everything. And I just – one, I don't know if the players are really giving them the respect that maybe a veteran coach – would command, mm-hmm. and I don't know if they're asking for the respect that a veteran coach would command. But as far as Jalen goes, man, there were so many missed throws last night. Like the deep ball to Rager was kind of – it was underthrown. There was the ball to Ertz toward the sideline. It was too far out.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's a starting quarterback, guys. And
he could have hit Devontae, too, in that first half. There was that play up the sideline where Devontae laid out for it. That was a throw you got to make that throw, too.
Exactly. And I think he's going to get the whole season to see if he does progress and improve. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, man – if we do get those three first-round draft picks, Matt Corral, what's that game tomorrow night, Ike? Ole Miss and Tennessee. That kid, he's got a cannon on him, and he's accurate. He is, and he's mobile. He's got the mobility. He could be the pick, you know, if they don't make a move for, God forbid, Deshaun Watson or somebody like that. But one more thing, and I'll get off and listen to you guys. With the trade of Ertz today, I hate it, but, you know, it's time. I tried doing it all off-season, and, you know, we'll always remember the Super Bowl, and that fourth down catch is one of the most underrated plays ever.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there are any more veterans, like if things do keep going this course of losing, that they could trade, like maybe a Slay to Tampa because their secondary is atrocious,
Ooh.
Cox to maybe Cleveland because could you imagine Cox on the same line with Myles Garrett? Things like that. Let me throw that out there, and I'll get off and listen to you guys. But remember, tomorrow night, 7:30, SEC Network, boys, Tennessee Ole Miss. I ain't saying Tennessee's going to win, but it will be a fun.
Jack is going to be glued. Thank you, Justin.
Wow.
Tomorrow is Ike Reese's birthday, as we have a pie in there. Happy birthday to you.
Look at that.
Why is Kobayashi so good at eating hot dogs?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Well, that's a lot of candles.
Hopefully the box doesn't
burn up.
Yeah,
burn up.
Say
hold on. Is this from the Marks family?
Yes.
Awesome. It's the second year in a row,
It's not
man.
A peanut butter pie because they didn't have it. It's a chocolate. It's a chocolate cream pie.
Awesome, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I definitely appreciate it. Tell Liz and the kids I said thank you. Definitely appreciate it. Rod, Maddie, thanks for bringing it in. Jack, I'm sure you didn't do anything.
Sure he didn't. He didn't know it was your birthday.
I did know it was his birthday.
You did?
Well.
You did, kind of. But thanks.
Celebrate him. Celebrate all the stuff he does well.
Blow out those candles before the place catches on fire.
That's a good point by you, yes.
Thank you. I'm not worried about you.
It's smoky in there.
Yeah, we don't want...
Awesome.
There you go. Anything special planned? Because it's always like this with me. Mm-hmm. My wife demands that we do things on my birthday, even though it's my birthday.
Yes. I don't know. I got dinner tonight with friends, the old heads. We're all still here in town. So the guys from last night, John's wife, Loretta, is having something for him.
That sounds
awesome. In honor of the Hall of Fame induction last night, so we're all going to get together. tonight and have dinner. And I'll use that as a birthday celebration. I mean, I don't know how many other friends I have. Tomorrow I didn't have anything planned other than golfing.
Well, that's a
early
good.
Early in the morning, I'll be with my buddies golfing in the morning. And after that, I don't know. I didn't plan anything, put it that
good.
Way. Yeah, I didn't plan anything.
All right, good. Well,
although I do have my tomahawk steak that I'm
you've been waiting for it?
Man, I've been waiting to put it on the grill, man.
Mm.
So, yeah, I might wind up, if I'm permitted, to just enjoy being at home tomorrow.
Watching
Ole Miss and Tennessee and Michigan State and whatever else.
How about that?
I'll throw that bad boy on the grill and I'll have some Mike juice and enjoy that.
Well, enjoy whatever you do, and
Thank you,
a good start to your birthday if you're able to go out and golf. And it's supposed to be I think it's the
at
weather.
Least early.
Yeah,
it's supposed,
early
to,
supposed
be good.
To be all right.
Yes, I'm supposed to be good early. So yes, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate this.
I can and sounds like quite a party tonight. All you guys back together?
Yeah. Well, I don't even know who's there. I know Five is still here. Hugh is still here, and B West is still in town, and we'll behave. You know, most of us got to be in bed by 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Sure, you guys are old.
Yeah, we'll be with the wives, so, yeah, we'll behave.
Yeah, Hugh's 50. You're not that far away.
No.
Is Trey still in town, too?
No, he left. They got a game. I think they have a game today or either tomorrow.
Are they playing that fake
I told
high
him
game?
That, too, yeah. Told him that.
Yeah, he smoked that team.
Yeah.
That
so, you know,
real.
Y'all, so you know you played a fake high school, right? It's like, don't matter. They won't schedule.
Hey, you play who's in front of you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that was his team that did that, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
They played the fake high school team.
What's the name of the fake high school team?
Bishop Sycamore.
So they haven't played since then, right?
No,
since they were
man,
exposed.
No.
I think everyone, caught on.
Because he was still, whoever.
Some of them had jobs they had to go back to.
I know.
They were working at 9 to 5.
Bishop Sycamore.
Take care of family.
But they were using social media to still, even after all of that, they were trying to book more games. Like, hey. Friday, October 15th,
right.
We now have an opening in our schedule. Like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, man. Because I couldn't enjoy any of the festivities last night other than doing interviews with the guys coming by the show. And,
yeah, you got to work a six-and-a-half-hour air shift followed by a post-game show.
And the post-game show, yes. So those guys got a chance, well. They were at the game hanging out, so
right.
I couldn't even go down and hang out with them down in the lounge.
Well, I mean, people got to work.
Yeah, man, I can't be enticed.
Well, tonight you'll make up for it with some birthday and John Runyon Ike juice.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, let's go to before we go back to the phones. Let's pause and talk to or listen to Ike Reese.
Ah, the NFL Week 6 is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, wants you to get the most out of every play. Now, that's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay, bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Now, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet. So, lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, then make sure you sign up today with promo code Ike to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code Ike so they know that I sent you.
All right, let's go to Mark in Cincinnati. What's up, Mark? How are you? Hello, Mark.
Over here. Yeah, hello. Can
What's
you
up?
Got me?
Yes, sir. Oh, what up?
Okay. Sorry. I'm just surviving over here like everybody else after, last night. But, you know, what was really confusing to me, the thing that stuck out with the play calling and the coaching yesterday was you got a quarterback that can squat 650 pounds. You're on the first and goal from the half-yard line, and you're lined up in the shotgun. It makes no sense to me. You know, I'm sure they've installed a
That's
quarterback.
What they do.
Sneak.
He didn't line up under center once last night.
Nope.
Not one time.
Crazy from the half-yard line. Like, punch him in the mouth for crying out loud.
Do you remember how they got Nick under center when he was struggling in 2017? Yeah. They said, you know what,
right.
Like let's change what he's doing. Let's get him under center. Maybe he gets him under rhythm a little bit, gives him a different look.
Yeah.
Like, but just dropping him back, and I know that's what all the teams do, but just dropping him back in the shotgun, like try something different. We're crying out loud.
I mean, well, you know, it's a game of chess a little bit. You know, you got to set. You want these, you know, RPOs and everything to work. You got to set them up. You got to give them different looks and things like that. And you know, that's the coaching and mostly the play calling. They're probably doing better coaching than they are with the game planning. But you know, also too, I mean, you just can't deny that you know. And I'm rooting for Jalen. I mean, he's just so likable and so. You just want to root for the guy, but he was just not accurate. Those throws were just all over the place, and you can't blame the coaching for all of that. I mean, you got to make some of those throws.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But you know, a lot of people, and I've said it numerous times to myself and on these airwaves. You know, this Jeffrey Lurie is a good owner. He's a great owner. You know, for Philadelphia, the Eagles, the city. He's a great owner, but you know, these guys have lost their way. They've been on a downward spiral since March of 2018. And this is, you know, hopefully it's hitting a bottom here, and I don't know what's going to happen, but they gotta take, you know, they need to, you know, Jeff and Howie need to do some self scouting and be like, you know,
we got you, Mark. Listen, got to run, but thank you. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if they think that's the case.
Well, listen, I would say this, when you just look at the last two drafts, right? Let's stop holding the 17 Sidney Jones draft and Derek Barnett in 2018. We already know those are bad drafts. We already know that. But the last two drafts, they have seemingly hit on some of their players, and that's what a lot of their offense is made up of the last two drafts.
Yep.
Whether it's the quarterbacks, the receivers, the offensive linemen, the young offensive linemen, that's what it is.
Yeah, some of the like the Quez Watkins certainly in the sixth round helps the overall draft.
Of course.
Mailata really helps.
Jalen Reagor can't necessarily determine an entire draft.
Right.
We know he shouldn't have been a first round draft pick.
No.
We know that.
Driscoll looks good in the mid rounds. Mm-hmm. Landon Dickerson's going to be a starter here for a long time. Devontae Smith looks good.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They need this year's draft and next year's draft. They need
more.
To rebuild
yes.
their team.
They are. And,
in front of us.
But you can only do so much.
Yeah.
You can't rebuild everybody in 1 year and think you're going to hit on every player.
Coming up, top 5 at 5 with Jack Fritz. You know what that means? Like the day after a game, if you're an Eagle player, you probably don't want to listen.
Yeah, but
well, certainly not giving out game balls today.
No game balls, but I'm calling a little audible. You know, the Eagles don't call audibles because one of their all-timers left today.
Oh,
there we go. I like that.
It's been a depressing show.
Okay, you know? There you go.
I
bring it back.
I give a little bit of, you know,
thank
excitement.
You. I can use it. Thank
no
you.
One reminisces better than this. than this.
Yeah,
this
when are we going to do the Zach Ertz
for
He's a Jolly Good Fellow show?
Yes.
Next Tuesday? All right, top 5 at 5 with Jack. All your phone calls, so don't go anywhere. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Are you ready for T-Mobile's ultimate backyard tailgate giveaway? Well, world champion Brent Celek and I are coming over to one lucky winner's to tailgate with 9 friends. We're bringing a Weber grill and a 55-inch Samsung TV, courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances, along with celebrity chef and Food Network star Chad Rosenthal from The Lucky Well to barbecue on your new Weber grill. Oh, and 4 people will win a mini electric Weber grill, too. It's T-Mobile's ultimate backyard tailgate giveaway with Gerhard's Appliances. You can register right now. Just go to 94WIP.com/T-Mobile, 94WIP.com/T-Mobile.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.